Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
Hi, Natasha. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you. As I was telling you before the chat, my friends and I are my OG friends. We're longtime friends of your work, and we're just like always excited for your new releases. So let's just chat.
To this day, I'm so baffled when people are like, oh my God, I love your books. And I'm like, oh my God, you read me? It's still,
Yes, I think creating art and like creating some sort of, it's like people can see when you're like, but I'm just doing it because I enjoy it, or I'm doing it because it's something that's just part of who I am. But like the consumption of it and like actually having feedback and like good and like people obsessed with that and like, what is happening?
I was yesterday, I saw my dad's cousin that I haven't seen in like forever. And we were at this family gathering. And she looks at me, I hadn't seen her, I think it was like maybe 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I have to say, I read all your books. And that Stone family, I just love them. And my father's, wait, you read? I was like, what? And she goes, yeah. She goes, my favorite is Dylan. I really love the story. And she literally was going on and on. And my father, all my father could have done was like, wait, you really read her books? I was like, oh my God. And then he didn't get the gist of it because I'm like, I wonder if she subscribes to my newsletter because she's not on social media. And he goes, don't you get a list of people that buy your books? I'm like, Dad, that's not how it works. So it was like, it was an eye-opening for him.
Yeah.
And shocking for me because I was like,
Yeah, it's interesting. You're like, oh, I'm shocked. Like, I've talked to plenty of authors who write romance and they don't share that with the parent pickup line. They have no idea. And like, when they find out, like, you're an author, you're like, what is happening here? What kind of books are you reading? Because it's, at least now in the post 2020 is a little bit more, it's no longer taboo, but it was taboo before.
I mean, there's still books that are taboo.
Yes. But it's not like writing romance is no longer like anything. It's pretty mainstream hobby. Yeah. So it was before 2020. It was like, oh, you read romance? Really? What about literature? What about this? And I was like, no, I just want to fall in love.
But 100%, before, I mean, now I was like, somebody's, well, what do you do? And I'm like, I write romance books. That's what I go with all the time. Like, I write romance books. So, and then it's always followed up with, well, it's spicy. Like today, somebody's, oh my God, you write romance books like Danielle Steele. And I'm like, that's spicier than Danielle Steele. And then to like, because I was like a huge Danielle Steele fan. And I think I have to go back and read. Did she do spikes? Maybe she did.
She did.
Like at the time, that was the spicy.
Yeah.
And then it just evolved into a play-by-play.
Yes. Well, a play-by-play.
A whole play-by-play.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a good idea to look back at Danielle Steele's and even Nora's, like, writing in the early 90s. Those books that we read illicitly from our parents, grandma's nightstand.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm actually going to go back and try to read one of to see the spiciness.
Yeah,
because back then, if she was like the spicy romance author that we are today,
because I know historical romance, they had a lot of those early 80s and 90s. There was a lot of non-consent. It was very spicy, but it was non-consent. It was very like, I'm so ravishing you and doing the things. And I think Stephanie Lawrence has the Sinister series. The sexy is so long. It's 2 chapters long. I'm not exaggerating. It's 30 pages of the freaking sexy. I'm like, okay, we got it. We got it.
They're ravishing.
They're having fun. Yes, we get it. So it just depends. I think there was an era of time where it was like 30 pages of sexy. And like, oh my gosh, you really did.
I also find it very interesting how the times have changed with having a guy on the cover, like abs showing, and then they're like, that's too risky. And I'm like, that Fabio guy was on every single romance novel that you find back in the 80s. Shirtless, with his hair blowing in the wind.
Yes,
he was the it guy to get on your cover.
They were naked. Yeah, there's a couple covers where he's naked. Like, we see his bum bum. Like, we see everything. And it's like, he's just
there. And they were reading that by the pool. They were reading that by the pool. They were reading that in the bus. They were reading that at pickup.
Yes.
It's pickup.
No Kindle. No Kindle. It was an actual book.
It was actual paperback.
Yes. So, okay, Natasha. We got to do an introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We talked about romance. You're a romance author.
So, like reality and you like true crime, but it has to be solved, which I
oh my God.
I don't sit down with me and let's watch like one of those cold cases. And then we, at the end, we don't know who it is. I think I was at Shauna's house. We were packing boxes and she put on Unsolved Mysteries. And I'm like, we know who killed person at the end? She goes, no, that's why it's unsolved. I'm like, immediately no. Because then I'm going down the rabbit hole. Then I'm going to start Googling things. I'm going to start researching the crime. I need to know. I need to know that who did it at the end. It has to have a happily ever after, even in true crime. Yes. So, I can't do it.
So what kind of reality TV shows do you watch? Are you a Bravo? Are you a...
My God.
You know, because there's a different flavor. Are you a
challenge? There is different flavors. I've never done The Housewives, but I've done The Below Deck.
Perfect.
Love Below Deck. I'm a TLC girl.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm like,
tell me in the TLC world, which ones are your go-to? Are you a Sister Wives or are you...
Sister Wives is like a must. Sister Wives, a must. I'll never live the life of a Sister Wife. And my husband, like, we watch it it's Sunday night at 10 o'clock. So I'm in bed and he's in bed and he's like, but why are you watching this if you're never going to live it? And I'm like,
no, because I'm sorry, but this is Cody's toxic as fuck.
Oh my God. The gaslighting that he's been
It's been so nice to watch him, like, his Sister Wives unfold and divorce him and letting and having finally a voice. Because, and this is like my favorite season. I'm like, yes, find your voice. Go date other men. Go do it. Because not even a morally gray red flag. No, he is a ruby red flag.
He is like the biggest red flag. Yes. And like how, just like the way he walks like he has, I might have to cut this out, but he walks like he has testicles that are like 50 pounds heavy and his legs have to. I watched
him. I don't know.
In the last episode, he was walking to the door and just the way he walked with his hair blowing in the wind.
With the ringlets. Did he do curl patterns? He's keeping his curl patterns really well. So
he's literally, he has a blotch of hair here and then he's bald all here until the back.
Yes.
So I find it hilarious that he's on the Special Forces one.
Yes.
And I only watch when they troll him.
Yes.
Like, I'm all there for it. So I'm a huge Sister Wives fan. I was a huge 90 Day Fiancé fan, but then it got, like, to the point where they're really not good. Like, this couple really they're not going to survive.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where that, like, kind of phased out because it was like, guys, it's a red flag. Like, you've never met this girl, not even on FaceTime. Yeah. Why are you traveling to our country and going door to door?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like a TLC fan. But then after I used to like Selling Sunset, then that's like.
Then you just got to produce. Like,
exactly.
I really like,
I was like a huge The Bachelor.
Yes. Ricky Paul coming in as a Bachelorette. It's going to be Utah. HGTV is going to remodel the house, the mansion. We got some wave. They're going to do
Listen, she's in her own toxic world.
She is.
I hope she finds love.
I think my issue with The Bachelor, I'm a more Love Island girly because I like the fact that you just date around and you just kiss everyone. Doesn't really matter. No one's going to get married for this because you're in 20. You're like, you don't want to get married. Yeah. I find the bachelor like the full idea of a wedding and stuff like that. It's, it feels the stakes are too high and they don't need to be too high. It's just dating around. So I feel like hopefully she'll get a couple flings here, couple like fun times, couple sex stuff, and just have gone on a few dates and have fun, and then just move on to the next chapter. You know,
I will, for her sake. Speaking of Love Island, I've never watched Love Island, but this season.
Okay.
So my son was toxic. It was so bad. It was
my
so
daughter, she's the mom, just watched a couple of episodes. And like after episode one, I'm like, I would nick this thing Bella and Dash A.
Sorry, I forgot that.
And then that's Dash. It's not.
I was so invested in this fucking thing.
Yes.
So invested. And then I'm like, hold on a second. Huda is batshit crazy.
She is.
Like, she is one step of that abusive behavior.
Yes. Oh, no. It's Darvo. It's all bad.
How are we allowing that still? If that was a man.
Because it was a female. Because they just crop out. But if it wasn't
that, that was a man.
Been, like, ejected all the way.
But, like, in the middle of the night. Like, the first girl who was there and then was not.
Yes.
So, I was like a huge.
So I meant to suggest if you have the time, watch season 6.
That's what my daughter said. My daughter
said it is a lead. That season is a lead. You get a part in the first week, which is kind of like annoying. Until I know it's really the part when what's her name? Leah has a fiber bra and Rob escapes to the pool and spends an hour under the pool. Legit, an hour under the pool.
To avoid
the fight. And it just gets better and better after.
Okay, so I might go.
I usually skip. Here's my suggestion. When Mom and I skip the first episode, we use a lot of filler. It's just getting to know the couple. So you don't get attached to those couples. So, so start with the second episode, power through, and then it gets better. That season is a lead for USA. And then UK is great. It's a fun.
Yeah, I heard the UK like, was.
And I have to say, I love British people just being dumb, like British dumb people.
Well, when they brought that Zach guy, was he even British?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. I think so. Okay. Yeah. It's for accents and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, my favorite was Pepe this season.
Yes.
I think.
But then he was a player. Then he got a player.
He totally gaslit us all.
Again, that's when Love Island, you're not supposed to, like, the biggest thing about Love Island is they're going to become boyfriend, girlfriend, or exclusive. That's the biggest thing. Like, you're not expecting them to be married, to be like, we're gonna have
and a wedding. Thought East and Shelly would be like practically the only couple left outside of the villa. It took him 8 weeks for him to be like, okay, I want to pick Shelly.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
But Jeremiah has a book club, god bless him.
Oh yeah,
he has a book club, so I actually am with the group chat. It's very heartwarming, him trying to become a book talker and trying to...
Jeremiah, right?
Yes, trying to make meaning of books and trying to do all these different things. But the book club is very book talk, is very, like, very popular books and that he doesn't read, which is amusing. But he got the celebrity, he figured out he's going to go into the book talk world and he's just going to live it up. So,
well, good luck to him.
Yes. So, all right. So let's talk about Holiday Unscripted, because I actually read this thanks to Shauna. So I'm really enjoying this coming to the home, like wedding. Yep. Oh my God. So pretty. Love the. Yeah. Oh gosh. Oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah. I did the candy canes that are on the front.
Yeah.
I did them on the seam on the sides.
I love it. So for the listeners, Natasha showed us the decollete edges. I think not decollete, the spray edges of the Holiday Unscripted, which actually has cute holiday theme. So you should definitely buy it in the physical form. Yes. I got in love and a romance where she is stranded. She has to come for a wedding for a holiday. She doesn't want to come for the holiday. Everything wrong happens.
Hates the holidays.
Hate the holidays.
Back home. Her brother's married. Everything happens to her. She loses her luggage. Nobody picks her up at the airport. They totally desert her. And then she's shit out of luck by not having a bedroom.
Yes. And so she has to stay with her sort of someone who she hooked up with, but he ghosted her.
Did he ghost her though?
You don't know.
Yeah.
It's a miscommunication matter.
There is definitely a miscommunication that happened.
Yes.
And it was fun getting to that miscommunication.
Yes. But he has a cute dog. He has two cats and one of them fell in love with her. Like,
I will say, baby cat is a real cat. Actually my cat. And yes. When he's stuck in the tree, totally my cat. he lives there. Whiskey is also like my puppy that we just got. And Bean is my graphics designer, her cat. So all the pets are real. Yeah.
I love this. I actually enjoy it. Like just getting back into Christmas spirit where you're screwed to, like, I hate Christmas. And I'm just
I really hate Christmas. Like, I really hate Christmas. And it was so funny. So I had finished writing the books that I needed to write. And I had not a spare minute, but I was going between the hockey and my small town. And I had a break. And I'm like, should I write the Christmas story? And I plotted it out. And then, of course, to write a Christmas story, you need Christmas music, because is it? And it was the month of May, and I was blasting all these Christmas music songs, and my son came in the room and said, Mom, you're fucking killing us with this fucking Christmas music. You won't even let us listen to Christmas music at Christmas time, and now you're listening to it in the month of May. And I'm like, I have to get into the zone. I'm already over Christmas, and we were in May.
Yeah, and now, so I was going to ask, because this is a typical question, how do you get in the Christmas zone when it's not Christmas when you're writing this? And always, you hate Christmas. So what led you to write a Christmas book? Like,
I thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Did you end up falling in love with Christmas, or you just, no?
Everything that, like, happened in that, like, that's wrong with Christmas is in that book. Like, it's so commercialized. It's. I mean, I love Christmas for the fact of getting together with your family. That's my favorite part of Christmas. I don't like the lead up to it.
Yeah.
I don't like how, I mean, back in the day, I was just happy to get together with my cousin. Like, it didn't matter what was underneath the tree.
Yeah.
And now it's expected. This is what I want underneath the tree. Here's my list. Here's the spreadsheet. Here's the links to buy it. It's just gotten to the point where it's not about the holiday anymore and getting together. It's about the commercial products.
I get it. I actually get certain of my love language. I hate gifts. I hate receiving gifts. I hate, because there's a lot of trauma around that. And so for me, Christmas was like, it was terrible. And for most of my childhood, it was like a terrible time because it was like trauma and family.
Right.
Toxic things. So it's interesting, like, when I started this podcast, the first episode was a Christmas episode, and I did not read Christmas books, had no idea. I was like, wait, there's Christmas books and stuff like that. And over time, I've been doing this for almost 10 years. Over time, it's grown to the point where I'm like, well, just gonna have Christmas time. Do I buy into it? I'm like, no, I like the idea of a little bit of escape, a little bit of cheer and stuff like that. The idea of coming back home, seeing family, what it could be, what it can be. And a little bit of love and a little bit of things, but the idea of like how it is right now, where it's like everything has to be a gift guy, everything has to be like a specific thing, you have to go and compete. And right now, the economy is like trending.
Well, it's like the gifts just keep getting bigger and
they
more
get bigger, and bigger.
They get smaller, but more expensive.
Yes.
So when my kids are growing up, like, they wanted like a Tonka truck, which is $35. Back then it was $35. But then as the time went on, they're like, I want an iPad Nano, very smaller, but triple the price.
Yes.
So it's like the gifts are smaller, but
yes, it's a gift, it's an expectation. It's also the opportunity to see toxic family friends. Like expectation. Oh God, and I've interacted with people that I don't want to interact with.
I come from a very big family. Like were at Christmas last year, and I think we were just the immediate family. We were like 53 people.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, like, when we're getting together, it's okay.
Tomorrow for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we have to move couches and get like long tables, and where are we going to eat? We do potluck, and then when do we eat? Like having 53 people there, and it's a kerfuffle.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a lot.
But I love it.
That's great.
I love that part of it. I have so many good memories on the growing up with my cousins, and then I want my kids, but it's a very different generation now. Like the kids are very different. Like I was just happy, but don't forget back then we didn't have social media to keep up with each other. Right. So yes. If I saw my cousins after a month, it was like, I saw my cousins after a month. There was no texting in between. There was no like,
posting. No, we have phone. We had a line.
You
know, worse, especially if you have your own landline to talk to your friends, like talking, not, we use the phone, not texting, not sending voice notes and stuff like that. Like we're also not expected to be at home all the time sitting in front. We're just like, we had commercials. So you know where your kids are at 10 o'clock.
Till a couple months ago, we still had a landline. And my kids were like, Mom, what is that ringing? And I'm like, it's the phone.
Oh, man.
It's the phone. We still have cable. My kids, they don't really watch. It's all subscription-based, right? So it's all. And, like, nothing has commercials anymore. So, like, we're sitting down and we're watching the hockey game yesterday. And, like, cutting the commercial. And the kids are like, oh, my God, another commercial. And I'm like, God, you guys would have died in my time.
You have a TV guide, or you have, before they even have the showing what the shows were, you didn't know where it was playing, you just like, scrolled the channel. Yeah. Like,
well, the show's good. I remember like it was in the newspaper at one point, like what was playing.
Yes.
And then you had, if you had the TV guide, you were like middle class. You were like, if you had the TV guide, you were it on the block.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Puerto Rico. So we had different channels. We had American TV because American TV gets imported, but we didn't have TV guide didn't work because we had different channels and different things. And so there was just like weird thing at the toggling and trying to figure out like what channel, what's playing, what's good. You have to know your schedule.
When you got that TV guide.
Yes.
We're like, who's on the cover? What? Yeah. And then you would be like, oh my God, it's playing my favorite movie at 2 a.m. And then you didn't have a DVR, you had a PVR, whatever.
No.
So you had to literally set an alarm, wake up to watch your favorite movie.
Yes.
It changed.
Those times have changed. All right. We got a choice of book recommendations. Our top recommendation is Golden Trail by Kristen Ashley. You have reread it and you just recently
I reread it. I have it on audio. It's like my go-to comfort read.
So talk to us, what is it all about and why she
read it? I don't
pick it up.
And it's so funny because reading it, one, it's funny because I didn't realize until recently that it's only in his POV.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Now I need to read it.
Oh, it's a second chance.
Yeah.
He's not nice to her at all.
Yeah.
It's only in his POV, which is shocking. Shocking.
Yes.
There's just something about it. I don't know what it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if back then it was my favorite and it's still my favorite. But I think it's my favorite because it was my favorite back then.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that if I read it today, like in today's, if I hadn't read it when it came out,
yeah,
and I just read it today, I don't know if it'll be my favorite.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For readers, talk to us about Kristen Ashley because she has something. I was telling you, I was like, I wish she had the resurgence of the 2020 when they were like looking back on these old titles and they were like, she didn't get that treatment, the viral treatment. But she was big in the 2010s. It was common that you have read a couple of Kristen Ashley, Lady Luck,
100%.
Like a bunch of them. Like these were like staples.
I think she is like one of the first OGs that came out with Alpha Men.
Yes.
And now you can't say they're Alpha Men because.
Yeah.
It's the different mindset.
It's like a different mindset. In the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of non-consent and it was just pretty normal. And yeah, I, like, people are writing, like, oh my God. And I'm like, that was,
you're like, oh my God. The, like, know, my first book, he's really alpha.
Yeah.
Cooper Stone is really the alpha male. Like, he doesn't take, we're going out tonight. He's not asking. He's telling you, we're going out tonight. Now, you love him because, you know, he's genuine. But would it, like, people are really, like, in today's market, would they be like, wait, no, I'm not going out because you said, let's go out. So I think everything changes. Everything changes. And yeah, alpha men back then and alpha men back now, it's totally like, it'd be red flags.
Yeah.
Like red flags.
I think it's such an interesting dynamic because I remember 2016 reading all the alphas and because I was just consuming that.
And the alphas were like the best sellers.
They were the best.
You wanted the red flags. You wanted the alpha man who was going to be like, I'm going to take care of you and we're going out tonight.
Yes.
Now it's no.
Now we get the cinnamon roll hero, the one who's in touch with the emotions, the female fantasy because they're really
golden retrievers.
The golden retrievers. Yeah, the golden retrievers, the one who can appease a black cat of women and all these different things. And it feels like we're going through extremes. And I'm like, I can see the alpha going back because we're starting to see some of them in the romanticy in the paranormal space. But even that, we're still getting some of those like very like golden retriever.
Yeah. It's like the This Man series.
Yes.
Do you remember that series?
Yes, I do.
To this day, I think that's one of my favorite series. However,
yeah,
I haven't read it since it came out.
Okay.
So I read book 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Because, and like, Jesse Ward, you were reading.
Like, this is what we were reading.
Jesse Ward was the it thing.
Yeah.
Would Jesse Ward be the it thing today?
No, they're not. But you know what? We kind of have to go back to a little bit. I think we need to go back to the halfway point. It doesn't have to be so extreme one way or it doesn't have to be extreme the other.
But like, I find that in like the dark romance.
Yeah.
That's where the alphas are at.
Yes. I love it in Mafia. I love it when it lines you on the side.
Was it Haunting Adeline where like he had a gun?
Yes. I think that.
Or there was one where he cut her face or made her face bleed and then dumped her head inside a shark infested waters.
Yes.
Like red flag. Red flag. Yes. Like that is a red flag. Forget the outlook. Yes. That's like
red flag. I don't know. The kidnapping one. I don't have a popular episode about. I don't know if I do out a Captain Captor, but if not, I'll be posting it on Captain Captor because kidnapping is holy shit. It's a freaking red flag.
Yeah, and they're all like history. Oh, we're gonna kidnap you. Take me. I'm like, what?
Yes.
But yet you're talking like that you want to cancel the guy who's we're going out tonight.
Yes.
So yeah, if you've been around as long enough,
yes,
even the way that it's changed, you're wondering what is next.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope that we get to a happy medium or some sort.
I will say I hate the tropes that people are like, oh my God, what are the tropes? What does it matter?
It doesn't really matter. It's a story. It's about a couple.
And now everything is a trope. The gold person, farm girl, everything is a trope.
Yeah, it really is. And I know this is for selling for us this idea, but like a lot of times you just have to look beyond of like the formula. Oh, this is the formula. This is what I like. This is what I'm going to do. Like, I don't know. Not every trope is going to work. Not every trope, the way it's your favorite trope may not work for that kind of particular story. It's about the characters. It's about what's actually happening to the story because it's not just internal conflict. You also have external conflicts. There's more to the story that you're working with. I think we moved to this idea. I know they complain about thinking books are fast fashion, but it's how we're marketing the books are just getting to the point where you're not really sitting down and enjoying the freaking story. Like, point blank.
I will say the Faki series that I just finished, Only for Tonight, Only for Love, Only for Him, Only for Her. I wrote the second book And yeah, I wrote the book the way I wanted to write the book. Yeah. And then I finished it and I said, Shauna, I don't even know if this book has tropes. I don't know what the tropes are. I wrote the books the way that I wanted to write the books back. And maybe it's going to be shoot me in the ass because there are no, I don't know the tropes. So we like came up with tropes. But it's like, what trope is going to get the people? Like, and then are they turned off because of the trope? Like somebody's, you're like, we don't like surprise pregnancies, but we like them to be pregnant. And I was like,
well, no, you're gonna get pregnant.
I don't like that trope, so I don't want to. And I'm like, but you like love stories, and it's a love story.
Yes, I think it's a conversation that it's an ongoing conversation about how we market our books, and like, is it a detriment to mark them tropification that it has all these tropes, and you have to do all these search engines, and it has to be found this way. Or are we able to see literature for the sake of literature, or like a book for the sake of a book, and enjoy the story for the sake of the story?
Yeah. And then are you going to take a chance on the book because, say, it's not the tropes that you, like, you hate the tropes, but you like the blur?
Yeah.
Will you take a chance on that book and be like, oh, but no, I don't like black cats, or I don't like whatever
it is? I think in some ways, it's even like how I consider marketing books, like, because I am a content creator. My job is to sell the book to other people and to be like, okay, find the right book for you. And I think in some ways it's like looking less about maybe the trope is a Trojan horse, and then just basically telling you like, hey, this is a story. I know you don't like it, but this is why you actually should read this book. Now, you don't like Christmas, Unwilling Unscripted might be the book for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it actually gives you, it gives you a place to, one, understand that you're not the only one. It makes you feel alive in a place where everything's Hallmark, everything's Christmas. This is a book for you. And that's where it's like looking from that perspective, like how we sell the book to a place, to the reader that needs to read the book.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting. Like, I've been around, I think, for 10 years now, and it's like the adaptation of change. And like, I write my books so far ahead.
Yeah.
That it's, is this trope even going to be good when this book releases? And I was like, I have to stop looking at the tropes that are now and just write the story that I want to write. And that's the story that.
I think in some ways it makes you a leader in that space as opposed to a trend chaser. Like, it makes you like you're setting the trend, you're setting the space as opposed to being someone who's following whatever is chasing.
Right. It's hard because the trend changes like so in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Like, hockey is the big thing now.
Yeah.
In blink of an eye, football's coming back and the football is going to be the top of the league. Or like, cowboys are in now, but hockey players aren't in. And I think some people are like, well, let's do a cowboy who plays hockey. And I'm like, no.
Oh, I read those. Yes, those are. Sometimes I call them the everything in the kitchen sink tropification, where it's like those cookies and you do everything in the kitchen sink cookies. Those, they're book form and they're just.
But I think it comes back to they're like, oh, they're chasing what's in the market. Instead of just writing the book that you think you should write and what the characters are going to do.
Yeah. So, but you know, we've been in it for more than a decade. We're going to see changes and everything. So our job is to keep steerheading to other areas and other things that may not know that they might like.
Yeah.
You're going to try. And you may,
like I said, like a lot of
people. You may like alpha males. And I'm like, hey, there's a whole aspect of backlist.
A full aspect of the alpha males. And I remember once I did an ad and it's like the alpha of all alphas. And somebody bought the book and emailed me and said, when does he turn into a wolf? And I said, what is he talking about? And they're like, well, when does he turn? And I'm like, dude, I think you're reading the wrong book.
Yeah.
And because I had taglined it the alpha of all alphas, he literally they were like, when is he turning? And I'm like, turning to what?
Yeah.
So you also have to watch out what you say.
Yes. All right, Natasha, we've talked long enough and I don't want to keep you longer. So tell us where you can find you online.
I am everywhere online. Anywhere that you want to find me, you can find me. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. Is Facebook even a thing now? I don't know.
They're
on Facebook anymore. I love Facebook. I'm an OG Facebook girl. I'm not on Snapchat.
That's okay. I'm not either. So don't
worry about that. Even a thing anymore?
I think it is a thing for the younger generation. I don't know. I didn't understand. I didn't get it. I'm an elder millennial. I'm midlife now. So don't.
I think that's the only.
Yeah. We've been on Facebook for 20 years. Like, I was reminded that I've been on Facebook for 21 years. Like, yeah. It's a long time.
It's a long time. I think I had a Twitter account, but now it's not. I'm definitely not on Threads.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. You are not missing out.
That apparently is.
You're missing out.
That's just where it happens. Where you go to die. Like, yes. Where your soul goes to die.
Yes. You just don't need to be there. I can tell you, someone who's in the asylum looking at, I'm like, oh, you don't need to be there.
Yeah, no. I had to create an account because they said if you didn't create an account, then somebody could take your account.
Yes.
But then you can delete the account or else it's going to delete your Instagram.
Just keep inactive.
It's all like, it's in the cloud. It's in the cloud.
It's in the cloud. You just saved us so no hacker can come in and act like Natasha Madison, but it is okay.
Go for it. If you're going to do it, go for it. I'd aim higher, but if you want to do it.
Awesome. Well, Natasha, this was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there.